key prayers in the Bible. Prayers prayed by people who are on that journey with God, who have something to share with us about how they pray. We've looked at the prayer course before Easter, thinking about how we pray. We want to kind of tap into that and continue to think about that, because I really believe, as I've said all year, this is about a year where God says, I want to encounter you. I want to meet you. I want you to experience me. I want you to know me. I want you to get to know me intimately in that personal relationship. Why? Because only when you get to know God in that personal relationship will you ever, ever have the courage to get up and go and be the change in the world that God requires of us. It comes from that place of strength in knowing who we are in Him and knowing who He is. So we're going to look today at a prayer from the Bible, and we're going to look at the prayer of Jonah. And so we're going to read the prayer of Jonah together. And so if you want to look for this, it's in Jonah 2, and it's verses 1 to 10. And it says this. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas. And the current swirled about me, all the waves and the breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. The engulfing waters threaten me, the deep surrounds me, seaweed has wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath bared me forever, but you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayers rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish to vomit Jonah onto dry land." Always a good verse to end on, isn't it? The prayer of Jonah from inside the big fish. We've just had Easter, and Easter is about Jesus. And just a thought as we begin on the story of Jonah. Jesus says in Matthew's Gospels, he says, the Son of Man, it will be like Jonah. He will spend 3 days and three nights in the ground, like Jonah spent time in the fish, before he is raised again. Jesus points out this link between him and Jonah and this idea that what connects his story and Jonah's story is the fact that people don't listen. Jesus is saying to the Pharisees that you're not listening. Because you're not listening, you're not going to hear. And if you don't hear, you're going to miss what God's doing. So although we're looking at Jonah today, this links to our Easter story. Jesus spent 3 days and three nights in the grave. And for me, the thing that I was thinking about looking at Jonah was that imagery at the very end of that verse where it says, and God commands the fish to vomit Jonah up onto the beach. And you think, oh. I just had that moment where I was thinking about the idea of Jonah being in the whale and the whale getting more and more kind of going, feeling nauseous because something's not quite right. It doesn't sit well with him, the fact that there's this person inside of him. I just wondered whether it's like that with death. That when Jesus died on the cross, there's that moment where death was like, it's not just Jesus was there and he conquered it, it's lovely, but death was like, I can't contain this. I can't contain Christ because there was so much life in him that it can't be contained. And it's like death almost spews him back to life. It's like this idea that death cannot hold him. It's not just that he's defeated death, it's that death, whatever it tries, cannot hold on to Christ because Christ is so powerful. Jesus has conquered the grave. The grave cannot hold Jesus. If you hear one thing this morning, it's this. In Christ, there is a hope that nothing can bind. That nothing can stop. And when anything tries to come against you, it won't last long. Could it be like that fish feeling nauseous? It can't contain the hope that we have in Christ. The early symbol for Christians was the fish, the ichthus sign. And ichthus means Jesus Christ, Son of God, Saviour. That's what it meant. It's the word for fish. And it was the ancient symbol that Christians used, the secret sign that they were Christians too. I just thought, as we start off talking at Jonah, it's worth reminding us about Jesus. That Jesus was 3 days in the grave, as Jonah was 3 days in the whale. So the story of Jonah is this. Jonah's a prophet, and God speaks to him. He says, Jonah, get up and go to Nineveh. And Jonah goes, yeah, that's a good idea. They're not Jews. They're Gentiles. They're people who aren't of our faith. I'm not going to go and do that. That's great, God. I'm going to get on a boat now, and I'm going to go as far away as possible from the location that you sent me to. And Jonah gets on this boat, and whilst on the boat, there's a huge storm that happens. And the captain says to Jonah, who's down in the bows of the boat, why aren't you praying to your God? We're all praying to our gods. Why aren't you praying to your God? And Jonah goes, because I know that if I talk to him, he might say something to me. And then the storm gets worse and worse and worse. And then the sailors say, Jonah, come on, pray. And they start throwing things overboard, trying to get the ship in a safe place. And Jonah goes, actually, what's causing this storm is me. I haven't listened to God. Throw me over the side of the ship, and the waters will calm. They throw him over the side of the boat, and the waters calm down. And then God causes a fish to swallow Jonah, and we find Jonah in this prayer, in the middle of this fish. You see, the thing is this morning is often one of the reasons why we find prayer so hard is because if we start listening, we might hear. If we start listening to God, we might hear God. And if we hear God, we might have to change something in our lives. We might have to do something or change something or realize that we can't live the way we've been living. So most of us like to pray at God, because then we haven't got to hear from God. So we'll pray to him, we'll pray at him, but we don't want to hear from him. Because if we hear from him, we might have to do something. And for Jonah, this is what was true. God had spoken to him about something for him to do, and he went, oh, that's a nice idea, God, but no, not right now. I'm going to go as far away from you as possible. And for so many of us, often, there are parts of our lives where we're on the run from God. God can have this part of our life, but there's another part where we're on the run. It's not we don't know that God's there, but we just don't want to acknowledge him right now, because otherwise it might mean something for us. It's too challenging for us to engage with him right now, because he might say something we're not happy with. He might ask us to do something that we might find difficult. But you know what? Even if you're ignoring God this morning, God's never ignoring you. God's never ignoring you. So this morning, are you on the run? Is there part of your life where you're running from God? Because the prayer of Jonah is the acknowledgement of saying, actually, you know what? I've been on the run. I've been hiding parts of me from you. Rather than giving you everything I've got, I know you're there, God. I'm still believing. But actually, rather than giving you what I know you want from me, I'm just going to run in the opposite direction. I'm just going to choose not to hear you. We're going to look at four things this morning from Jonah's prayer. Honesty, connection and repentance, thanksgiving and action. And the first thing is this. Jonah's prayer is honest. And if you want to start getting to a place where you start actually connecting with God on a deeper level of encounter, you've got to stop running and start being honest with God. Because it's easy for us to pray and pray nice prayers for other people or to pray this, that and the other, but we kind of deceive ourselves and we kind of deceive God by saying that things are okay in our lives sometimes. Or we'll talk about certain things but not other things that are going on in us. And we kind of go, well, God already knows that anyway. God already knows the fact that that's going on in my life, so I don't need to talk to him about it. But actually, we need to be honest with ourselves. And in prayer, there's this place where we need to be honest with ourselves and with God. Jonah says, you know what? The problems in my life, the storms in my life, which initially he blames on God, he goes, actually, they're not God. They're the consequence of me running away from God. Running out of where he wants me to be. It doesn't mean to say that every single trouble in your life is a result of ignoring God. But so often there are consequences to our actions. And when we choose to ignore God, we're not living in the fullness of life that God wants for us. There's parts of our life where we're not giving what we could to him, and therefore he can't bless that part of our life because we refuse to be honest about it and give it to him. There's parts of our life where we refuse to be honest about what's going on in our life. And God's going, I can't bring healing, I can't bring freedom, I can't bring forgiveness until you let me have that part of you. Until you're honest with yourself and with me that that's something that we need to work on together. Jonah is dead honest about what he's doing. Our prayers have to be real. We have to share our true heart with him. When we're excited about our faith, when we're struggling in our faith, when there's things we're going, God, right now, this is something that I'm struggling with massively. I don't understand why you've let this happen. I don't understand why this is the case. But actually, we need to be honest about that and just say it as it is. There's a story of a daughter, and she goes to her father, and she says, she makes a request of her father. And her father gives her an answer, and she says, but that's not what I want to happen. And he says, well, that's my answer. And she says, well, what do you want me to do then? And she just stands there as her dad goes back to work in his office. About 5 minutes pass, and then the mother calls up from the other room and says, why are you still standing there? She says, I'm waiting for dad to change his mind. And so often with us is we know what God said, but rather than doing it, we're waiting, going, hey God, tell me something different. Tell me something different. Tell me something different. Because we don't want to actually hear what God's got to say to us. We want God to say to us what we want him to say. This morning, are there things that you're waiting for God to change his mind about when actually God's already told you what the situation is? God's already told you what to do. You already know what you should be doing. It could be that there are things that we know that as Christians we should be doing. We don't need to wait for a revelation from God to do. We just need to do them. But we're going, oh, until God says, I'm not going to do. And God's going, I've already told you. We need to be honest with where we're at. In your prayer life, how honest are you? Do you ever talk to God about what's going on in you, or do you just talk about what's going on with other things? Because prayer is an amazing moment where you come in intimacy with your Heavenly Father and you can be really honest and real and just say, God, you know what? This is what I'm really struggling with at the moment. Lord, bring me grace. Help me through this day. God, you know what? I'm really angry at this person right now. I just need you to help temper that. But what we often do is we hide those emotions from God and we just come to God with our prayers of intercession because that's safe. Rather than being prepared to be self-reflective and real about what's going on in us in any moment in time. Jonah starts his prayer with going, you know what, God? I'm in a bad place. I've run away from you. I've ignored you. Things haven't been what they should be. I've known what you said I should be doing. I've just chosen not to do it. He gets real with God. Where are you at this morning? Where do you find yourself? Are you blaming God for it? Or maybe are there things where we need to take responsibility for what we've done? And be honest with that before God. God already knows, but our honesty does something in us when we share that with him. So get real in prayer. Get honest with God. Next, we learn from Jonah a sense of connection that leads to repentance. Jonah says in verse 1, in my distress I called to the Lord and he answered me. There's this understanding that when we call on God, there's a response from God. It's not a one-way thing, it's a two-way street. God wants to speak with you. God wants to talk to you. God wants to answer your prayers. Not necessarily give you what you've asked for, but to respond to your prayer. I call and you answer. It's not just saying you've magically done the thing that I wanted you to do. It's saying, God's saying, when you call on me, I want to respond to you. Like a vending machine giving you what you want, but saying, I want to have a conversation with you. When you call on me, I'm going to answer your prayer. I'm going to speak to you if you'll let me. But often what happens is we cut off the line of prayer after we've done the calling on, and we forget to wait for the listening bit, saying, God, going, let me answer you in this right now. Let me share something of who I am with you right now in this. See, prayer is that place where heaven and earth intersect, where you have an opportunity and a time to experience the divine nature of God. It's a place where heaven and earth intersect. So prayer isn't just a quick thing we do. Prayer is the central thing of the Christian faith. As to how we practice our faith. Everything starts with prayer. You can read your Bible and it's good. You can fast and it's good. You can serve people and it's good. But the thing that shapes everything you do is, are you in an intimate personal relationship with God, where when you call, you hear him answer? Because that's the excitement of being a Christian, is you get to have a chat with the God of heaven whenever you want. That baffles me. That blows my mind. Jade read those verses at the beginning of the service saying, in the beginning God creates the heavens and the earth. The God who thought up all of this says, I'll have a chat with you. Yeah, I'll have a chat with you. You ever had that moment where you've talked to someone who you kind of slightly idolise, and they're kind of a bit of a big name person for you in your life, someone you kind of a bit of a celebrity maybe, or someone you just really respect, and they chat to you and they give you some of their time, and it's like, wow, oh, they chatted to me, they spoke to me. It's like that with God. He wants to chat with you. He wants to talk with you. He wants to share with you what's on his heart. See, prayer is that place of connection. But that connection only happens when we choose to turn back to him and be in connection with him. And the word repentance just means a change of direction, a change of mind. It's saying, I was running away from God, I was choosing to ignore what he had to say, but now I'm running into God, and I want to hear what he's got to say. It's turning away from the things that we do to separate us from God, which we call sin, and it's running into the things of God, which we call grace. God wants to connect with you. Your prayers bring you in touch with heaven. And if you encounter heaven, that's going to change your life. It's going to transform how you see the world. It's going to flip your life around. And you know what? I can guarantee that when you encounter God, it will flip your life around, and it won't always be straightforward, but it will be better. It won't be straightforward. There'll be a lot of things that get ruffled in the process of following Jesus, but it will be better. And that's an awesome truth. So getting honest with God allows that connection with God, which is truly intimate, which then allows us to get a perspective on where we're at in our lives, which then gives us an opportunity to think, actually, maybe I need to change direction in what's going on in all that I'm doing. It says in verse 8, those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. I love this verse, because you've got grumpy old Jonah as a prophet who has some great things to say about how far that God is a God of love. This is Old Testament. We often think God in the Old Testament is really horrible and mean. He's not. He's a God of love. It says, when you turn away from God, you're not turning away from just this sort of big, powerful being in the sky. You're turning away from love. You're choosing to live absent of love in your life. It's saying what you're choosing to reject by not listening to God is more of his love. When you're choosing to ignore what he has to say to you, you're ignoring more of his love. When you're choosing to close your ears, you're ignoring his love. When you're putting something else ahead of God, you're ignoring his love. That's what you're ignoring. You're ignoring the opportunity to receive a greater sense of God's personal love for you. And it's God's love that brings healing and wholeness and life to us, that brings freedom and grace. God loves you. And when you get your head around the fact that God loves you, and that when you enter into prayer, he's not going to go, you bad person. He's going to go, my loving child. So often we're running from God because we're scared that if we approach God, he might call out all of our sin. And yes, God will say, that's not good in your life. But he's not going to punish you in some awful way. He's going to turn around and go, I love you because I love you because I love you. And there's more for you than the way you're living your life right now. Sin just isn't the best way to live. In God's love, the best place to live. And God wants to move you from a place where you're not living the fullness of your life to the place where you can live your best life. So know this, God loves you. So why wouldn't you want to seek a loving creator God in prayer? He's not angry with you. That's dealt with in the cross. He loves you because he loves you because he loves you. And that's where you can have confidence that when you go into prayer and when you want to connect with God in prayer, he will respond because he loves you. If you're a parent here, if your child walked into you having done something wrong, you might be a bit cross for a moment, but you still love them. If a child walks into you, you just embrace them. You love them. You care about them. That's how God feels about you. He loves you because he loves you because he loves you. God is not angry with you. He loves you. If you get one thing from today, he loves you. Next thing is thanksgiving. Jonah shares in thanksgiving. He says, I will sing with shouts of joy. And we looked at this in the prayer course about how when you start prayer, start in adoration. The Lord's Prayer starts with, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It's a praise. It's a song. Why? Look, it's saying, in prayer, before you do anything else, just enjoy that you're loved by God. Just enjoy who he is. The adoration is that place where we just enjoy and go, wow, God, you are who you say you are. You'll do what you say you'll do. Wow, that is a place to be. And for Jonah, he's praising, not because God's delivered him yet. He's still in the fish. He doesn't even know he's going to be delivered yet. But what he understands is in the process of changing his thinking, of turning back to a God of love, he goes, wow, I am loved. And whether I live or die, I am loved. And it causes him to praise and to adore God and to give thanksgiving to God. Even before he's spewed up onto the shore, he doesn't know it's going to happen. He just goes, wow, when I turn back to God, I can just enjoy him. Rather than feeling like I can't approach him or feeling the guilt and shame, I can just enjoy the presence of a God who gives life. So in our prayer lives, we've got to get into a place where we use thanksgiving as a place where not just to praise and worship him for who he is, but to enjoy him. And what praise does is it realigns your life back to who God is. It realigns your life. If we go back to just that verse, those who cling to worthless idols turn from the love of God. What it's saying is when you choose to give praise and adoration and worship to other stuff, you're not going to experience the love of God in your life. Because you're trying to find something in other things. And idolatry is just putting something else above God. Putting something else first. Where that thing becomes, you obsess about to a point where it becomes a God to you in your life. Whether that be success, whether that be lust, whether that be your football team, whether that be a particular band, whether that be a particular TV program that you can't help but have to get back in time to watch. All these things potentially can become idols if we're not careful. And what you're doing is you're turning your back on a God of love. So what worship does is it realigns us back to enjoying the love of God. See, actually, that thing isn't bringing me the life that I can get from God. So it realigns us back into the place of God's love. And lastly, what happens out of this is that there's action. He says, now that I've gone through this process of being honest and real with you, reconnecting with your love, reconnecting with who you are, changing my thinking and my mind to be actually in line with who you are, God, giving you praise for all that you are, he says, I'm going to make my vow and my sacrifice. He says, I'm now going to do something. I'm going to put this into practice and into action. And the thing about prayer is, in prayer, it's not just this nice little thing we go away and do. Prayer is this action that we do. It's this process we go through, this transforming process that gives us confidence and courage in our action in the world. Because prayer is the place where we encounter the ways of heaven in Christ. And then that allows us then to know what God would do to then put it into practice. So prayer is the engine that fuels our faith. It fuels our action. You can still do things for God without prayer, but it will never have the same power as when you're lining yourself up with who God is in prayer. And say, off the back of this, I'm now going to go. Which is what we've been talking about all year, this idea of it's out of a place of encounter with God, a revelation of who he is and what he desires, that then you're compelled to go. And that's the story of Acts, which we'll look at in a few weeks' time. Is that Jesus says, until my spirit comes, don't do anything. Just pray. And the disciples spend 40 days in the upper room just praying. 40 days just praying. And after 40 days, the Holy Spirit comes upon them, and then they are compelled to go. They have an encounter with God. They have an encounter with the Holy Spirit. And in prayer, I want all of us to be having encounters with the Holy Spirit where we are then compelled to go and do something for God. Whether that just be saying a kind word that day. Whether that be being really generous that day. Whether that thing's being radical that day. But it gives you confidence to do that when you know the Spirit of God is in you. And part of our vision is to trust the Father, believe that he is who he says he is, and he'll do what he's promised, to receive the Holy Spirit, which comes from that encounter with the Father, and then to go and tell the story of the Son. To be in relationship with the Father, to trust him in relationship, to experience the Holy Spirit and the power of God, and then to go and tell the story of the Son. That's our vision. See, encounter leads us to action. For Jonah, he goes, I don't know what's going on right now, but whatever happens, out of this place of encounter, I know that I am called to now do something. I am called to go. So in your prayer life, get honest, get connected, change direction, enjoy God's love, turn away from worthless idols, turn back to God's love, enjoy it and live it. Enjoy it and live it. What Jonah ends up by saying at the very end is he says, salvation comes from the Lord alone. What he's saying, after all this process of stuff, he says, you know what? The only place that freedom comes is in Jesus. It only comes from God. And if you want to live free, live connected, live honest, get real with God. Live free, live connected. Salvation comes from the Lord. This is a prayer of freedom. And freedom comes from honesty, connecting back to love, changing direction, enjoying God in thanksgiving, and then changing your action. Do something. When you start listening, things will change, but they'll lead you into a place of greater freedom. It won't always be straightforward, but you will live free. You will live free. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. This morning, are you on the run? Is there something else that you're putting before God? Are you ignoring him because you know there might be something he requires of you? But when we're on the run, we're living in bondage, we're not living in freedom. And God wants all of us to live free and to live the life that God's always called us to. Are you on the run? Are you ignoring him? Is it time to get honest in prayer? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you and we adore you. We thank you that you are a God of love. And that when we turn away from you, we're turning away from love. Just like the prodigal son story. We think that we've got it all sorted ourselves, but actually we need your love. We need your tender touch. So Lord, I pray we would learn from the prayer of Jonah to be a people who live free in prayer, who connect with you, who choose to be honest with you, real with you, that allows us to encounter what you need to say to us and allow us to live free and live in your purpose and your plan. Lord, thank you for grace. Thank you that salvation comes from the Lord. And the Christian life is a calling to live free. Amen.